Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, November 14th. Coming up, astrophotographers in Champaign-Urbana share what's so awe-inspiring about their work. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is not giving up hope on legislation to crack down on homeowners' insurance price hikes. This comes after state lawmakers shot down a measure requiring insurers like State Farm to notify customers within 60 days of premium increases of at least 10%. The insurance industry opposed the bill.
What we want is for the insurance companies simply to show us why it's appropriate for them to raise rates by 27%. They didn't do that. They haven't done that. All they did was say, well, we had losses, so we're increasing by 27%. We don't know if the homeowners are being gouged.
State Farm earlier this year raised homeowner premiums by an average of 27%, which Pritzker strongly condemned as being, quote, unfair. Central Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood voted with the majority of House Republicans in passing the bill that ended the longest government shutdown in history. The Republican, who represents much of West Central and Northwestern Illinois, called the shutdown reckless and grossly irresponsible. Democrat Eric Sorensen, who represents much of North Central Illinois, said he could not support a funding bill that, quote, doesn't make the lives of my neighbors more affordable as they struggle with the high cost of Trump's tariffs. Democrats had blocked the spending bill over concerns about the end of health care subsidies. Air travel leading up to Thanksgiving might look a little bit different this year. Air traffic controllers worked without pay for weeks due to the government shutdown, which ended earlier this week. That means they missed two consecutive paychecks, and many have been calling in sick in response. Lori Garrow is a professor and aviation expert at Georgia Tech. She says there's more planes in the sky nowadays and a shortage of air traffic controllers to help manage them.
We've been, you know, putting a lot more people in the air, a lot more planes. The system is more stressed than it was, let's say back in the 80s and 90s. And so we don't have as much leeway when things go wrong or air traffic controllers start calling out.
The shutdown prompted the federal government to reduce flight capacity, as more than 10,000 flights have been canceled since last Sunday. If you need to fly for Thanksgiving, some travel experts say it might be worth flying on the holiday to get cheaper plane tickets. Students and faculty at several university campuses in Illinois are calling on Governor J.B. Pritzker to release more than $29 million in higher education funding. But Pritzker's office says the money is being held in reserve due to budget uncertainties created by the Trump administration. Capital News Illinois reports the money was included in this year's budget bill with a special condition that it could only be released with written approval from the governor. Advocates for releasing those funds spoke out at an Illinois Board of Higher Education meeting on Wednesday. They said universities need the money to make up for years of underfunding by the state. Still to come, astrophotographers in Champaign-Urbana share what's so awe-inspiring about their work. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for sunny skies with a high of 72 degrees, with a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 57 degrees, a southwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 74 degrees, southwest wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 38 degrees, northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. And for Sunday, sunny and a bit cooler with a high of 56 degrees, with a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, in his new novel, George Packer imagines a society in collapse. Some see opportunity, others danger. It's called The Emergency, and it raises the question, what do we owe each other when things fall apart? I'm Brian Mackey with George Packer for The Hour, next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Somewhere thousands of light years away, colorful clouds paint space with blotches and swirls of light and color. It's a scene that would snatch anyone's attention, but it's too faint to see with the naked eye. Fortunately, cameras allow even amateurs to capture images of faint and distant space objects. IPM Student Newsroom's Adrian Reitz has this look at the branch of photography dedicated to revealing the hidden wonders of the cosmos.
My first encounter with amateur astrophotography was on the Discord server of the University of Illinois Astronomical Society. The photos shared there were so vibrant and detailed, I was convinced they were created by big space agencies. But no, they were created by local amateurs, college students, many of whom had only been doing this for a few years or less. One of them is U of I sophomore Pearson Lipschultz. He got his start by pure coincidence 2 years ago.
I was with my parents and we accidentally drove into a campground where an astronomy club was setting up.
They invited Lipschultz to look through their telescopes.
I had always been interested in astronomy, but especially with my vision, right? Somebody would be like, look through the scope, and I take my glasses off and I look through and I'm like, wow, that's blurry. There's nothing there.
That's when he noticed the astrophotographers, the folks who attached the telescopes to cameras and computers to capture images of distant celestial objects, like gigantic clouds of gas and dust known as nebulae.
They're just out there like looking at a tablet, seeing like these pictures of nebulae just come in. And I was like, I want to do that.
Fast forward to today, Lipschultz sits on his couch with two laptops open in front of him. On one, he has some photos of a nebula. The other is connected to his telescope setup. It's 30 pounds of assorted gadgets and gizmos.
It's a absolute Frankenstein's monster. No single piece on that is from the same company.
He bought the parts used, since astrophotography equipment doesn't usually come cheap. To a typical photographer like myself, the amount of devices attached to the scope seems like overkill. But every piece has an important purpose. One major difference between normal photography and astrophotography is exposure time. The exposure time is how long the camera takes in light. Usually, this is a fraction of a second. If you're taking pictures at night, it might be a bit longer. But in order to collect enough light to see that dim gas and dust cloud 6,000 light years away, Lipschultz says he gets around 20 hours of exposure time.
That's 20 hours of 3-minute long exposures. And what you do is you then take all of those and you stack them.
Stacking all of those exposures brings out the target object and drowns out the noise. But since the Earth rotates, if you set up your scope and just leave it, the whole sky will shift in your frame. So the scope has to move to counteract that rotation. That's why it spins. The scope moves very slowly throughout the night to keep the target object in its view, unblurred. Even still, temperature changes also present challenges.
Over the course of the night, it's going to get colder. And as it gets colder, your entire telescope's going to contract, so your focus point is going to move.
So there's a motor responsible for adjusting the focus, too. After seeing Lipschultz's setup, I was not expecting my next astrophotographer to come in with a single briefcase-sized container. Aniket Pant shows me a sleek, compact device called a C-Star. It's like an all-in-one astrophotography device, known by some as a smart telescope.
This is a pretty cool, nifty little kind of small-scale revolution in the astrophotography world lately.
It's also cheaper, at least compared to other astrophotography setups. Hundreds of dollars versus thousands. Fortunately, Pant says the U of I has everything students need to give astrophotography a try. He shows me a photo of a star-filled sky he took at a local park.
This was done completely for free, you know, quote-unquote for free, because I borrowed both the camera and the tripod from the UIUC library. I was also really happy that, like, it was very accessible to me.
Pant came to the U of I for graduate school after getting his undergrad in a bigger city.
The stars aren't really so obvious in Atlanta, and coming to UIUC, it was, like, a really different experience because it was like, you know, you can see so much more here. The sky is a lot darker. And so your opportunity to do astrophotography here is just, like, so great.
It's an opportunity both Lipschultz and Pant recommend anyone interested take. There are plenty of astrophotography communities in East Central Illinois, beyond the U of I campus. The images, Lipschultz says, are awe-inspiring.
This nebula is 3,500 light years away, which means that, like, the photon that came off of this nebula traveled through space for 3,500 years, and then came through the atmosphere, and then, like, went through my scope and hit a sensor. Like, it's sort of absurd to think of how big of a journey that is just to, like, hit an image sensor and then turn into a picture.
If you're seeking out spots for astrophotography, Pant recommends Middle Fork River Forest Preserve, which is the first and only designated dark sky park in Illinois. I'm Adrian Reitz, IPM News.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Eric Stock, Arjun Tucker, Capital News Illinois, and Adrian Reitz. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.